Think we're at the top of the hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar, How to Hire a Digital Asset Management Professional, hosted by MyDAM Services and DAM News. Terrific topic. And two dynamite panelists joining us today. We'll introduce them in a moment. But for the topic at hand, finding and hiring the right person for any position, let alone someone to oversee or help support a DAM initiative, is difficult. It's never easy to judge whether a candidate would be a good fit for your company based on a resume, one or two meetings, or even after a few reference checks. And when you're hiring remote workers during these challenging times, which has become fashionable in DAM lending well to a working from home environment, the challenges can be even more magnified. With that, it made sense to both MyDAM Services and DAM News to get together today and explore, dive into what actionable insights there are on hiring the most talented staff and managing them effectively to increase the potential return on investment for your DAM initiatives. So let's examine the possibilities in redesigning your DAM hiring process to recruit, hire, and effectively manage a new and needed workforce. So let's start with some introductions. We have Henrik DeGeer, it still throws me, Henrik, Ralph Windsor, and myself. Henrik, did you want to start, introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Frank. Yeah. So my name is Henrik DeGeer. I am a consultant by trade, a digital asset management consultant. I'm vendor neutral. I'm also the author of Another DAM Blog, the podcaster behind Another DAM Podcast, amongst other podcasts. And I've written extensively about it in a number of books, et cetera. And that's me. You can find me at Another DAM Consultancy. And I'm also the co-founder of MyDAM Services. Thanks.
Excellent. How about you, Ralph?
Okay. I'm Ralph Windsor. I'm the project director of Daydream. We're a DAM consultancy. I've been in the DAM game for about 25 years, which, as I keep saying, is like a life sentence in some jurisdictions. And as well as that, I've been a software developer, DAM software developer originally, a project manager, been a digital asset manager, and more recently, DAM consultant. I'm also the editor of DAM News, and I'm the director of the DAM Guru program. Lots of things DAM, basically. That's me.
Very good. My name is Frank DiCarlo. I'm dating myself being involved in DAM since the 90s. I developed one of the first SaaS models in the early 2000s for my clients, led those trusted companies to realize their maximum potential in the value and utilization of digital asset management, improving their efficiencies and strengthening their brand. And with that came a lot of hiring of cybrarians and the like. So I'm looking forward to today's topic. Thanks again, guys, for being here and making this happen. So let's get to some questions. First one we thought we'd throw out there is quite simply, what has changed and what has stayed the same for the digital asset manager? I wouldn't mind starting that off, if you guys don't mind. I've been saying lately on some of these recent podcasts that, and the three of us were discussing this before the pandemic at some of the trade shows we'd been attending, that a great deal has changed for the digital asset management professional. They certainly have a different seat at the table. In the early days, it was really just about having a repository, a central source of truth. And the main objective was to, gather, organize, enter metadata so it can be found. That, of course, is still present. But the DAM professional has acquired a whole multitude of different responsibilities now. They're responsible for how assets are being moved through an enterprise. User adoption, taxonomy is becoming more into play, governance, what is needing to be aware of today and that and how that affects tomorrow. So, you know, the list goes on and on. And on top of that, they're still responsible for, right, the gathering, organizing, and entering that metadata. So I think today's a great topic in that regard and very important in how the dam manager's responsibilities has changed and everything else that they're responsible for. You guys feel similarly? Or I know you feel similarly because we've had this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, Frank. Yeah, I'd agree with all of your points there. I think just some other observations I've made. The role, it's become quite a lot less niche than it used to be. It used to be kind of, you'd have a job title like kind of photo library manager or video manager. And now it's a lot more broad based. The whole issue of the digital asset supply chain and getting digital assets from origination through to all the different marketing channels, especially digital channels that are in use now, social media, mobile apps, e-commerce, all that sort of stuff. Because of that, there's a lot more, you need a lot more technical knowledge, things like systems integration, APIs, the characteristics of all these channels, and all that stuff has changed quite a bit for digital asset managers. I think the one constant in all of this is you still need to know an awful lot about, you need to be very familiar with the organization that you're employed by, the company culture, its values, all the different people, all that sort of stuff. I don't think you can be effective until you've got a good grasp of that as a digital asset manager. And I think that's one that's remained constant throughout all this change that's been going on.
Great points.
Yeah.
I would say that the thing that's changed the most, especially this year, has been the fact that we've proven again that the first word of DAM is digital and that it can be done remotely. And there was nothing stopping us from doing it previously remotely, and there is still nothing stopping us from doing it remotely now.
Yeah.
So if we are considered essential personnel because you have to distribute your digital media or your digital contents or helped curate it and make sure that it is facilitated the right way, it can be done from the comfort of their home and the security. And it can also be done by multiple people if you have to follow the Sun model because you're a global organization, for the sake of argument. So whether you have a global audience or you're a global company, it can be done by multiple people or it can be done by one individual, which is often the case in many organizations. But sometimes they need help. So the thing is, that's changes. You can do it remotely and you can continue doing it remotely. People are being hired from day one being remote. And even after the challenges of today are over, they'll continue to work remotely because they're more available. They don't have to waste time commuting and they can facilitate the process of everything you spoke about, whether it's for in-store printing or because it's born digital or out of home printing or whatever that might be. They're not going to actually do the printing and they're probably not going to do the digitization of physical documentation and things like that, but they can handle everything else and curate that and communicate with all the parties across business units, whether you're for-profit or nonprofit. So what has changed, what has stayed the same is basically, well, the duties are still mounting and they are not ceasing. So the digital asset manager may, or digital asset management professional may need more help because they are sometimes the jack of all trades, but they can't do everything even in 24 hours or 168 in the week. That's my answer.
That's an important distinction. It's such a recent change, which is this idea that we're seeing more and more that the initiatives are run remotely. I mean, we've been doing them for a while, but a lot of companies and organizations were not. And we're seeing more and more that's digital asset management professionals are reaching out for help as true leaders, right? I mean, as these responsibilities mount, it gets very difficult to do them all well. And the idea of having remote help to support what they're doing and to, you know, team reflects its leader. The more that they menial tasks that they can delegate and have get done so that it opens up the pipeline and opens the bottlenecks, gets rid of the bottlenecks, the more success that damn manager is going to have and be able to plug and play and scale as needed. So a lot of advantages in some negative times or some times that are seemingly against us. It really shouldn't be a deterrent in anybody's digital asset management program. All right.
Yeah.
We got, or is there something else on that, Ralph? Or are you good?
No, absolutely, Frank. I'd agree with all your points and Henrik's also.
Cool. So why is it important to have the right digital asset management professional for your initiatives and programs?
I'll pick this one up again. I think in a lot of ways, the digital asset manager role, it's a very interesting one because the digital asset managers really is the both the glue that holds a damn initiative together, in the sense that they kind of have to run around and do all the sort of fill in all the parts of it, like cataloging and all that sort of basic activity. But at the same time, they need, especially now with all this stuff about integration and supply chains, digital asset supply chains, and they also need this strategic vision. And I think this is really why you need, why you have to have someone who understands from the top to the bottom, who's able to kind of go from quite a low level discussion about sort of technical stuff or taxonomies and metadata, right the way up to kind of how does this get applied to the problems that the business faces, and in particular with communicating to customers and clients and end users and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's really why it's important to get an expert digital asset manager involved, because you need someone who can see things from top to bottom and deal with both sides of the equation, so to speak, there.
Agreed.
I would say they have to be a facilitator. You're looking for a facilitator in all those things to Ralph's point. They have to be an excellent communicator, both written and in verbal means, to basically advise as well as clarify challenges or misunderstandings repeatedly sometimes, and also communicate points that need to be addressed, funded or things that need to be fixed. Not just by themselves for the sake of arguments, but things that need to be addressed so the same problems don't keep arising, that kind of thing, or the supply chain is, more stable, or the metadata continues to come from the said creators or the said requesters or whoever distributors are connected to that chain and that workflow. Because the digital asset manager is not going to do everything, necessarily speaking, or at least they shouldn't. And shouldn't right. be expected to. It is a teamwork to a degree, and it is a facilitation that has to happen with orchestration, to your point earlier. But it's basically they're going to be a curator to a degree, but not necessarily. They may be the chief curator, but not the only curator of metadata and assets. Right? There may be some creative people that may be involved, or there may be some rights people that are maybe involved as well. They may not be the sole rights management person to making sure the rights and permissions of the assets that they've acquired are legitimately available and can be reused or used for the sake of argument. And ultimately, they are one of the fixers of many challenges that may arise, not just in the business sense, not just in the creative sense, and not just in the IT sense or the technical sense. But they have to be able to speak all three business, creative, and technical languages amongst their departments, if that makes sense. So If they have experience as a or understanding at the very minimum of project management and product management, that's very, very helpful. And I've seen some titles being product manager of digital asset management, but that's not necessarily the only title out there. There's many, many titles out there that you can give, but that it's more fluffy than anything else because we know they do a lot more than product management or project management or curation and all that other stuff. So titles are nice, but it's a matter of, is the work getting done and are you progressing and can you prove it and measure it? So measurability and understanding metrics so that you can, even if you haven't even launched your DAM initiative yet or your DAM system yet, you should be able to prove, you know, some progress over time so that the people who are funding it can continue doing it because they know that their goal, whatever that might be, or their goals, their business goals especially, are getting there, hopefully within the time frame that they're looking for.
Yeah, I feel like we're touching upon also the last question insofar as you really need somebody that's looking at this from or can look at this at 30,000 feet, really overlooking the entire machine, understands not only their strengths and weaknesses, but what the strengths and weaknesses are in the program that they're running and having the wherewithal to know that it can't be done so much anymore by yourself. It's really, the job has really changed and very difficult to do for one person. The communication, facilitation, I agree on all that. You know, there's just so much. There's training, user adoption, constant improvements, governance, tagging, metadata, quality checks, you know, so it goes on and on. When you look on that, look at that, it can be a little overwhelming. So you need somebody that's really can look at this from a higher level and be able to delegate accordingly. All right. Move to the next one. What do we have? What needs to be in place before hiring your digital asset management professionals? What needs to be in place?
I'll pick up this as a sort of...
Yeah.
I'm going to do this from a sort of more kind of nuts and bolts perspective of, in particular, working with clients where my firm has been asked to sort of help out with managing digital asset libraries and some of the more basic sort of stuff. An induction about the company. So I was saying earlier on that, that it's vital that the digital asset manager has good knowledge about the organization they're working for. I don't think you can't just sort of hire someone and then kind of throw them in there and hope they'll pick it up as they go along, which does, you know, I mean, does happen, you'll know this. That sort of stuff, some kind of induction about the company, big list of contacts, you know, so people aren't expected to just sort of try and find everybody. And introductions to those people also, you know, so there's not only is the induction about a company, but you actually get to meet some of the people, however it has to happen, you know, virtually, Zoom, in person, if for in sort of more normal times, that sort of stuff. I'd say on a really basic level, some of the IT stuff, like, you know, admin level access to the DAM. I've found this a number of times going to the clients and, you know, they don't have an admin level account for the digital asset management system you're using, which obviously makes it quite hard to manage the digital assets. That sort of stuff, you know, so sort of having a few of those things planned out and ready to go. And I think just moving on to some more higher level topics is deciding, you know, is this job really suitable for a single person, or is it going to be something? Is it a kind of executive digital asset manager, head of DAM, as it were? Or is it somebody who's going to be involved a bit more hands dirty, so to speak? I think the key thing is really that you don't just kind of leave the digital asset managers to fend for themselves and just sort of say, right, okay, we've hired you now. There's the DAM now, get on with it. I think those would be my main recommendations. but what needs to be in place.
To your point, Ralph, there's obviously the budget that's kind of important. There has to be one existing to continue paying that individual and the system and the feeding of it, per se, whether it's assets or metadata or the time for it, et cetera, however your budget works within your organization or your company. Obviously, the willingness to have a DAM initiative, all right, and that may be coupled or grouped into, depending on who they're managed by, right? It could be creative, it could be IT, it could be a number of other organizations or business units. So it depends on where they're replying to and who their bosses are, if there's more than one for the sake of argument, understanding what that structure is going to look like. So they have some kind of, you know, org chart, if you will, in a perfect world. So they know, back to your point earlier, Ralph, of contacts, like, well, who do I contact if there's this problem? Who would I contact if there's a challenge with this? Who do I contact if I need that? Right. You know, it's more than here's a laptop, good luck. Because you're going to be remote from day one. And here's a couple accounts to manage. It's going to be the continued support from leadership, from management, from the understanding that you need to support the users as well as clarify challenges and understand the business needs from leadership and management, right? Maybe forecast what's going to be needed up front so that there is some understanding, right? Saying, well, this is our workflow now. Do we need to streamline it? Do we need to add things so that we go through, you know, multiple e-commerce channels now, that we're more e-commerce now, or whatever that might be? And of course, managing by results, by showing results to them. And showing some leadership as well, some leadership skills, even if you might not be managing a single human being internally or externally, but as a facilitator to advising leadership and management, saying, well, this is how long it takes to tag an asset. This is how long it takes to upload an asset of this size, right? So if you have 1,000 assets, it's going to take you this long, this many minutes or hours or whatever. And this is what has to happen before we add a user, right? Or how quickly I can add a user? How quickly can I remove a user if you're doing access and control, right? And permissions and all that fun stuff. So those things need to be understood, that those are many of the roles that they will need to do. And they won't be just downloaders, right? They'll probably be uploading a lot, hypothetically speaking, unless they have somebody else helping them with that. And they'll probably be tagging a lot, and they'll be doing everything else in those meetings that you'll be calling them into, Zoom or in person, to your point, Ralph. So the more facilitation you help them with upfront, with the onboarding, if you call it, or whatever you call it within your organization, the better, right? Because you arm them with the information that they need rather than having them try to figure it out. The less they have to figure out, because it's ingrained and it should be understood for any new employee or staffer or whatever you call them, team member or whatever, you know, they know already, because this is the list. This is the checklist. This is the hot list. Here's the links to whatever, right? Otherwise they have to do it themselves, which is going to slow them down. So those are the things that I would recommend.
I love having these conversations with you guys. Yeah, my take on that is evaluating really acknowledging where you are in your damn journey. You know, sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves and just have to slow down, take a look, take a breath, and understand where it is that we need to go. So, you know, when I say acknowledging where you are in your damn journey, I mean, if you're starting out, you know, there's a number of different things that need to take place, as opposed to somebody that's already on their way, or somebody that's looking to kind of like revamp or even go into another damn vendor or a damn, another damn solution. So, you know, there's different things that you need to be aware of. You know, if you're just starting out, you don't have to wait, for example, for the DAM to already be in place. There's things that you could be doing with Excel sheets, for the metadata to start, so that when you do go through your selection and you're going through your RFP, get those things started. I mean, there's so much you can do, so that when you arrive at a new dam initiative, you're already, you know, could be 60, 70% already there. So I think it's important, certainly when you're just starting out, to reach out for help and find out from the people that have done this a few times what might be most important. And if you're looking for a new dam solution or a new vendor, just take a look. You know, sometimes we found, I know Henrik and I and Ralph and I have talked about this before, sometimes just going back to basics, not being attracted to the new bright, shiny object, you might be more worthwhile to really understand your solution a little better, to see and acknowledge what it is that isn't working, because maybe there is already an answer that you just haven't explored yet. So there's a few things that I think need to be in place before you start hiring your managers, because you need to know what it is that needs to be solved so you can hire the right people to answer those questions.
Yeah.
What else we got here? What are actionable insights on how to hire the most talented staff?
I'll pick up a few of these again. I think the main point seems to be, well, this is really how can you make your organization appealing to talented digital asset managers? And I think really good digital asset managers want to work in organizations that obviously value them. And they understand that the role is important, and it's becoming even more important. I think if you're a digital asset manager, you don't want to feel like is you're being treated as some sort of, you know, the digital asset equivalent of a toilet cleaner who's been asked to kind of, you know, come in and clear up this mess and then go away quietly. And I think historically that's how the role would have been perceived by senior management. I think that has changed now very slowly. There is still a lot of it going on. The digital asset managers want to feel that they're valued, and they also want to feel that the organization that is recruiting them has made some attempt to understand that why that's being taken on. And it's not just, you know, someone to do all the cataloging, keywording. If you're hiring somebody, it's kind of understanding some of the basics that the digital asset manager has to, of the digital asset manager's role and what they actually do. And in some ways, if you're recruiting, it's useful to actually maybe do some of the tasks yourself to start with, not full time, obviously, but just actually do some of it so that you have an understanding of what the digital asset manager is going to be doing for you when you come to recruit them, so you can relate to them better. And I mean, that improves your results when you're interviewing, when you're selecting. And also it means that you're more relatable to prospective candidates, especially good candidates, when they come to meet you for interviews and that sort of thing. I think those would be my main points on how to get the most talented people.
On Ralph's points, I would add, check out some of the DAM books or the DAM blogs, not to mention any specific ones that we already know of very well, since Ralph and I both have our own, respectively speaking. There's several others out there as well, not just our own,
I haven't seen any of them. I thought
yeah, I list them on mine, by the way, in case you need under resources, under damblog.com, if you want to find more. but more importantly, have an understanding, to Ralph's point, of what the DAM manager is going to be doing, a digital asset management professional is going to do, and then seek the best experience and talent and knowledge you can find, right? and that you can afford, realistically speaking, because the most expensive may not be necessarily the best for the sake of arguments, but you want the best experience you can find, or at least the basics, right? You may want to find somebody from an L school, library school, or an information school, an I school, to do that, because they don't understand what a DAM is necessarily, but they have the basics of cataloging. They have the basics of information management, right? And then they can figure out a lot of the other parts, right? So that's one option. So you can figure out, and they don't have to have a library degree or an information management degree necessarily. It helps, but it's not required, necessarily speaking. Many of us don't have one, and we thrive either way. So it's a matter of finding the best experience and knowledge you can afford, essentially, and that you can find, because not everyone necessarily wants to move from their job. And, in order to lure them away from their job, usually it requires some other things aside from money. Sometimes a better working environment or a better culture may help as well, or a bigger project that they can really sink their teeth in and not get bored. Right? Because I don't think anyone really wants to get bored of their job. Otherwise, they seek another one very quickly. that's what I would say is the actionable insights is do your own homework first, and find some people that you can rely on that can help you find those individuals, because they're out there. There's thousands of them. It's just a matter of which one will do the work for your organization.
Very good. We've got a lot of questions coming in, which is terrific. I'm going to skip the last one that we had prepared, because I think some of these others, let's attend to our audience. So I'm going to combine a few here, kind of the same realm. How do we convince our bosses to hire a digital asset management professional or more digital asset management professionals? In the same breath, other people are talking about managing multiple businesses or multiple companies, and the challenges of the taxonomy and the terminologies used. Is there any advice we can give on why this is needed for a global view of all businesses? You guys follow me? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three or four questions there.
So convincing.
Right? Same. Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. Ralph, you want to sink your teeth into that one first, or?
So just on the, how do I convince my boss? I think the real thing is like from the consulting work I do, the clients that get the most successful DAM initiatives have a dedicated digital asset manager, at least one. The clients I've worked with where there's been loads of problems, it's sort of a rudderless ship, or there's like, you know, confusion about who's responsible for it. And I think the main thing to get across is that it's not just technology. There's this sort of phrase that gets bandied around, the people, process, technology, and the order of that is significant. The reason people are first in that list is because they are the most important thing, and the technology, while there's a lot of decisions and discussion around it, it's actually it's probably the least significant part of the puzzle. I've worked with clients who've got pretty awful technology, but some great people, and they get better results than when it works the other way around. And I think that's a point to get across, that a lot of DAM systems are without the people to get the most out of them, you're just going to get nowhere with it. So I think that's the main one with that point. On the taxonomy question, this is quite tricky. I've worked with a client who was composed of multiple business units, they were a good client. They were well organized. They were seemingly well organized, but there was no actual clear agreement about what all the business units were. They weren't sure if there was 15 or was it 14. Similar to this, wasn't sure if there was 15 or 14. Maybe it was 17. You know, that sort of stuff. I think the best way to explain this is to maybe is to come up with examples and say, well, if we don't have commonality between each of the different business units, these are the problems we're going to get into with integration. And you have to almost kind of come up with a story or a case study that says, right, okay, if we can't get a common taxonomy, we're going to get into all of these efficiency issues with exchanging data. And that's going to slow us down as a business. And that's going to give our competitors an opportunity to, do better than us, basically, and beat us. And I think that's the best way I would play this is, almost you sort of construct a story and a case study around that as a way to demonstrate it, rather than going into too much heavy detail on the metadata and taxonomy side of things from the off.
Great point, Ralph. I would suggest with that case study, have some hard numbers and ask some hard questions. And don't be shy about asking questions, even if you know the answer is not going to be comfortable, right? Make anyone really look good, because it's not really about that. It's about fixing the problem and moving forward and getting to a better state, right? If you're not, then why are you there, right? It depends, again, which audience you're speaking to. If you're talking to business people, they care about numbers, right? They care about value. They care about ROI, return on investment. So provide that and ask them hard questions like, okay, so when are we going to stop acquiring or creating digital assets? The likely answer, if they're going to continue existing and being relevant, is not anytime soon. So how are you going to continue tagging them? Because if you don't tag them, you can't find them. And if you can't find them, you can't use them. Really simple language, right? That maybe a 7-year-old can understand, right? Or any executive can understand as well, right? And keeping that very, very simple, right? So that you can understand that these are convincing factors that, yes, it takes time. It takes this long to tag an asset. And we have to add this terminology or this taxonomy or develop this terminology and taxonomy to apply to these assets, where there's hundreds of thousands, millions, whatever the magic number is. It's really a matter of scale, back to Frank's point, right? Scalability. So if you can do a scalable task, right? Whether it takes 100 people to do it or one, right? You can figure out how long it's going to take, right? And apply that information to it. And use that case saying, okay, well, we have more assets to tag. Oh, well, how are we going to find the millionth one? Well, it wasn't created in-house. Okay, so who created it? Who distributed it? Where's it going to be distributed to afterwards? Who's going to use it? Who's the audience? Who's the users that are actually going to search for this? And how are they going to search for it, right? So it's not just the executives, because they're unlikely to going to search for anything in the DAM system, realistically speaking. Management, maybe. But the actual users, which may be more in the trenches, you may have different kinds of users in different departments, right? Engineers speak different languages than creative people. They're not going to search for the same kind of content typically for the same reasons, right? So you have to understand who you're speaking with, who the audience is, and how to convince them. So the convincing comes down to numbers and case studies, back to Ralph's point, and making it very, very clear, distinct reasons, and give them examples that they can experience, right? If they can experience not finding something, right, that they really, really need, right, even if they created it, you know, last week, last month, whatever, or someone close to them created it, it's like, oh, we can't find that campaign that we created last year. Why? Why does it take us 3 days to find that? When that experience should be, let's find it in a few seconds. And anyone, even if they didn't create it or acquire it, could find it in a few seconds. Wouldn't that be a better experience, right? And convincing him that way. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, that's good. Both your parts. We're clicking down on time. It always goes fast. See if I can combine these few. Where do you see DAM professionals needing the most support, and which ones could be done best remotely?
So I think it's going to vary based on what the task is, right? And what understanding there might be on how that might be done. Because, you know, tagging might be done remotely if they have the right taxonomy and the right terminology and the right metadata to be applied and understood what goes where and how it gets applied and how it's going to be distributed, right? Well, even if they're filling out a spreadsheet for that matter, right? Or a CSV or whatever that might look like, and then sending it to the digital asset management professional. That can be done remotely, not necessarily just by the digital asset manager or digital asset management professional. Again, back to looking at a global organization where operations need to follow the sun, you may have a counterpart that does your job when you're asleep, if you're the digital asset management professional, somewhere else in a different time zone, right? So that you can actually get sleep, kind of important. And then someone else can do your job for you. And you basically pass the baton every 12 hours or whatever that looks like, or every 8 hours, right? Depending on how often you want to pass the baton and do shift kind of work. So the operations of a dam could be done remotely, at least partly, right? And Greta, you do want to be visibly known to leadership and management, not forgotten. So the way you do that is basically you have regular calls, right? Even if it's a Zoom call or Teams call or Google Meet call or whatever that might be, whatever tools you might be using, to having that conversation and understanding. So what's the priority right now? Okay, well, we have a backlog of 100,000 assets. Which collection is most important right now? Right? Because you have to prioritize it somehow, right? So whether you prioritize it or the business prioritizes it, kind of helpful. But that's the kind of work that can be done remotely is tagging, because tagging's not going to end. And unless you stop creating or acquiring new assets. And even if you acquire them, you need to normalize them to your standard. So who's going to do that?
Yeah, I was going to keep on top of it and possibly need the scrubbing and change as time goes on, and the needs of the company and the vendors, and you know, that in itself a monster.
I think I'd say, just to add to Henrik's point, that in terms of the support, it's, as I said, the digital asset management is becoming a lot more strategic and important. So that would presuppose that some of the more sort of, I don't want to call them rudimentary tasks, because cataloging is still vital. But some of these more sort of what you might call higher volume activities, there in particular where support is quite critical. So the digital asset manager is not tied up all the time dealing with, you know, with having to micromanage assets, because basically because they don't have the supporting personnel to assist them. I think that also comes down into some of the IT stuff. Like if you're a digital asset manager, you need to have knowledge about data conversion, things like that. But if you have IT departments or at least some support who can assist you with that, that's also a good area to support people. So they're not, you know, they're not doing things like having to write sort of macros and code when they should be deciding, you know, the digital asset management strategy for the organization. I think, you know, to an extent, you're never going to avoid that. And they're always going to be involved in this sort of top to bottom sort of role. But yeah, if you've got a small number of people who are responsible for a lot of high value activities, then they need to be focused on the high value activities first and foremost.
Excellent. Unfortunately, we need to wrap this up, and there's quite a few questions here. I'm going to provide some contact information, and we'll get to the questions that weren't answered. Henrik, you maybe want to speak on the playbook that we put together, and we'll be making available to anybody watching this, and certainly to the audience today.
Yeah, absolutely. We created a playbook about DAM hiring, and we're making it available through DAM News. Ralph, you want to explain how they can access it?
Yeah, if you sign up for a registered DAM News subscriber account, which is free, then once you've been through the verification process, you can log into that, and it's a featured download. It's at the top. Hiring a DAM professional playbook, you can download that from there.
Excellent. So whether you're hiring your first digital asset management employee, professional, or improving how you'll hire your next, take your time. Reach out for help. Certainly, we're available among other resources, and we'd be happy to help you on your journey. And you shouldn't rush your hire just to hire anybody, for sure. Your hiring decisions, especially your early hiring decisions, are among the most critical that you'll make for your business. We hope that you found today's webinar informative and a resource for your next and important steps in your damn journey. So be strategic, make a plan, and you can improve upon that as you grow. So we'll see you next time, everybody. And thanks for being here. Everybody have a great day.